Skyscraper, a haiku fanfic, written by Perennials, read by Serenade.
What things are steadfast? Not the birds.
When he was younger, all his favourite manga characters would cut their hair short to mark the start of a great change in their lives. So when he got older, he figured he'd try growing his hair out instead and see what would happen. Perhaps Adai Tenma was looking for a sign. Or perhaps he was just bored of looking like every other guy in Tokyo with a rom-com drama haircut and the Uniqlo jacket, the black phone case with the useless rubber bits on the corners. Tenma didn't really want to spend 50,000 yen on a haircut. He also didn't want to do it himself and risk winding up bald. So it made sense to him to go the other way. Graduate from high school. Quit volleyball. Grow out your hair. Going the other way was, of course, not the point. There had never really been a point to anything Tenma had done in his life. He was not a boy possessed with dreams of spectacular calibre. He much preferred squatting in the grass, poking at bugs with the blunt end of a stick until they poked back or ran away. Volleyball found him, the way some people wander into a room with no exit. One moment, he was Adai Tenma, short guy. The next, he was Adai Tenma, short volleyball guy. You know how the rest goes. If you don't know how the rest goes, this is how it goes. Boy joins volleyball team. Boy gets told by everyone, including his biology teacher and his mother, that he is too short to succeed in volleyball team. Boy ignores everyone, especially his biology teacher and his mother, and trains really hard. Boy trains really, really hard. Boy becomes ace. Boy becomes king of the world. Boy steps onto the orange court. There are lights in his eyes. There is a god watching him from the bleachers. Boy is invincible. Boy doesn't make it to the light at the end of the tunnel. Boy stops to admire the flowers. Boy quits volleyball. For a while after he quit volleyball, his entire life seemed to revolve around the fact that he quit volleyball. It was the first thing people asked him about when he walked into the supermarket near his apartment, or he stopped to buy a six-pack of Pocari Sweat at the convenience store. He'd be digging around in his wallet for that evil one-yen coin, and the old lady behind him would be like, "Oh, you're the little giant, aren't you? What happened to volleyball? Why'd you quit?" Then he'd find his evil one-yen coin, because things never come to you when you want them to, and things always come to you when it's too late. "I'm going to Tokyo for college," he'd respond, as he handed the one-yen coin over to the cashier, smiling politely over his shoulder. The old lady would nod at him, in a way that suggested he was a con man who had just lied to her about her grandson's whereabouts. The boy was not, in fact, stuck in a dumpster behind a Caesarea. He was alive, in Iceland. The titular question didn't annoy him. It took both very much and very little to annoy Adai Tenma, whose automatic response to anything threatening was to run straight at it. But the way that people asked it did, there was always an undercurrent of pity in their voices, a hint of, "I know you could have been so much more," and "I'm sorry things turned out this way," to their laughter. Though they were wrong. Of course they were wrong. Tenma had never spoken to anyone about the room with no exit. He had simply walked out. "I am going to become God," he declares several years later. It's the night before his first deadline of the week, which is the fake deadline Akashi gave him after he set the real deadline on fire their first month working together. Akashi is convinced that if Tenma tricks himself into thinking the deadline is tomorrow, when it is, in fact, 2 days later, he will draw faster. Akashi is wrong. "You are not going to become God," says Akashi, who doesn't know anything about being the shortest guy in the room, and is therefore wrong on principle. He pushes his glasses back up with his pointer finger. Tenma thinks, for the fifth time this month, that he would like to write a character like Akashi into his next manga. "You're going to become the next best-selling mangaka in this magazine." Tenma laughs at him, though it ends up sounding more like a horse trying to sing Mario Takeuchi's Plastic Love. "Akashi." He clears a space on his desk and rests his forehead on it. "Why are you like this?" Maybe his next manga will be about volleyball. Then he will have an excuse to write a character like Akashi. Tenma will give him unicorn-coloured hair and an anxiety-fueled tendency to catastrophize. "I am like this," says Akashi, sipping from his Tokyo Disney Sea coffee mug, "because I want the best for you. Rainbow hair. Bright pink hair with streaks of turquoise. Like a popsicle." Tenma turns his head away from him. "You sound like my mother." Akashi probably pushes his glasses up again. He's always doing that. Bokuto Kotaro probably told him it made him look like a Victoria's Secret angel on accident one time, and now he won't stop doing it. "Your mother never played volleyball." Tenma sits up at his desk cheerily. "Yeah, but I did." He discovered the point of all his prepubescent angst when he was 21. This was a relatively good time to discover anything about the universe, as he was still in college and could thus afford to drastically upend his life in exchange for a few moments of peace. He felt almost vindicated on behalf of the boy with orange hair and orange eyes, whose hand he shook on the third day of the spring high. The orange boy sounded like a shonen manga protagonist with a few screws loose. Tenma liked him. Standing under the bright lights of Tokyo, blinking the hope out of his eyes, Tenma also realized something else. This boy was not like him. This was probably why he liked him. Tenma, the volleyball guy, had been no one without his shortness, his angst, the way he railed against the genetics of height for skipping his turn on the way out. By contrast, Hinata Shoyo was everything. He was short as hell, loud as hell, bright as hell. Tenma blinked. He blinked again. Every time he did this, Hinata seemed to grow incrementally brighter, like a flashlight with a broken limiter. Hinata Shoyo was at home on this court full of giants. Square peg in a round hole. Round peg in a hexagonal world. Who cared? Not him. For years and years to come, Tenma would remember this. Ultimately, he didn't become a mangaka because he couldn't be a volleyball player. He probably could have been the short volleyball guy forever if he had tried. He kept up with high school volleyball after he quit high school volleyball, because part of him felt obligated towards something he had spent so much of his youth on. And it stung a little, which he grew to appreciate. The sting reminded him of doing flying falls in Karasuno's old gymnasium. It reminded him of being 15. It reminded him that he had once been one of those possessed with, if not dreams of spectacular calibre, then at least dreams of being tall. He had always wanted that. The height and the authority that came with it. The godhood. He didn't become a mangaka because he was too short for volleyball. He realized this sometime after talking to the orange boy on the orange court, hours before that boy was taken out of his second match, like a planet pitched out of the sky. Or perhaps he had realized this even before that, when a seagull called Hoshiumi Korai emerged from the blue of the sea and declared war on the world. It had never been an issue of couldn'ts. It was always an issue of wouldn'ts. Uday Tenma wouldn't walk to the end of the line, in case there was nothing there. So he wouldn't look over his shoulder either. At the end of the day, he didn't want to wait for someone to call his name first, so he left. So he grows his hair out in college. He grows his hair out even more after college. He starts drawing manga, and he gets published, and Akashi makes a comment, awkwardly linking volleyball and the cutthroat manga industry together, in the hopes that Tenma will take the bait, and they will reminisce about their sweaty, colourless youth over sake and peeled edamame. And his hair is still really long, and his regrets still look the way they did when he decided not to fight for volleyball after high school and decided to let go. And he's still not God. And the God in the bleachers was never really looking at him. Just the after image of the boy in the black jersey. And the kids he inspired grew up to be bigger than him, even if they never got any taller. But no one said strength had to come from holding your breath. There are between 9,000 and 10,000 species of birds on Earth. Not all of them can fly, but most of them have seen the ocean. And love can be anything you want it to be, even if you're not standing on that six-man court with that punched-out heart and those big dark eyes anymore. Love can be a shonen manga about volleyball if you decide to draw that prophecy. You can already see the opening pages, the way the ball will bleed across the seam of the story. The protagonist has a few screws loose. His team is the equivalent of a walking arson incident. They start their journey in a municipal high school in Miyagi that hasn't seen the spotlight in years, though they saw it once, though you were the one who glimpsed that shiny gymnasium first, through the eyes of a black bird with a love of miracles. And one day, in the distant and irrefutable future, they'll get so close to the sky, you will see them when you look out the window each morning, these boys with wings of steel, their fingers stretched towards the white circle of the sun. And you will think, I'm glad I quit volleyball. And you will think, I'm glad I stayed. The end.